Isn't it good to be saved today? Thank God, I'm telling you, it's good to be saved. And pardon the expression, but it'll be gooder on down the line. Amen. It will be gooder. You'll be so thankful that Christ passed by your way one day and lifted you out. I like that song the choir sang, He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Thank God, and set my feet in the heavenly way. And that's what He did when He set you on that rock and established your goings. He set you in that way toward heaven. Amen. And I'm going there someday. I'd like to take a whole truckload along with me. Hallelujah. And I believe we're going to have a time when we get up there. I know doubt about that. Amen. See all them loved ones that died in Christ going on before us. Amen. See Jesus. Won't it be wonderful? Hallelujah. We'll have a time. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis and chapter number 3. The book of Genesis, please, and chapter number 3, if you would. And I've got a numbered introduction. It may take a while to get through that. You bear with me on it, please, this morning. But I'll try to bring the thought I feel like God has laid upon my heart for today. Genesis and chapter number 3, I want to read two verses, verses 14 and 15, in your hearing this morning, okay? Well, let's read verse 13, too. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. May the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's go to him in just a moment of prayer. And then we'll try to get right into our thought for today. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the good song service, good Sunday school time, good fellowship we've enjoyed today. I pray now that you'd breathe upon your people. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching this morning. Bless the man of God as I stand. Help me, I pray. Without you, I can do nothing. I pray you'll fill me with the Spirit of God, with power, that you'll grant liberty in the house of God. And Father, that you're Spirit will do a wonderful work in the hearts of people, saving sinners and refreshing those, Lord, that are tired and weary, and blessing those, Lord, that need help today, and helping the sick and the afflicted. I ask you, Lord, to help us in our own hearts. Revive us, I pray, that we might rejoice in thee one more time, that the Spirit of God might glorify Jesus in our midst, that we might rejoice in what you've done for us and what you've accomplished upon the cross when you died and rose again from the grave to justify us. We thank you so much for doing that. Bless us now and help us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right. Now, the Bible said there in verse number 15, the Lord speaking unto the serpent, and he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice that statement. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And I want to try to preach on that and for a little while this morning around that thought, if God will help me, and preach on the thought of what's going on between you and the devil. What is going on between? I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. What's going on between you and the devil this morning? Okay? Now, you bear with me as I bring the introduction to the message. I'll try to get it the best I can and help you find where we're at and what's going on here. Simply by saying in these verses, the Lord has pronounced judgment upon the serpent. Amen. And the punishment it brought because of his craftiness in deceiving Eve and causing Adam to transgress, by which all humanity was plunged in to a state of depravity. And it was that. Notice the curse that he puts on the devil, on the serpent. He said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And you know, there is judgment and punishment for those that sin against God. And that also, that judgment and that punishment fell upon the serpent here. Now, I want to say also that Lucifer, having lost his exalted position, and they lost it through pride, by the way. Lucifer said, "I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will exalt myself above God. I will be like the Most High." And he attempted to exalt himself above God, and in doing so, he lost that exalted position and had been cast out of heaven. And it was his plan to magnify himself above God to be the rule supreme in the heavenlies. Now stay right with me. His efforts were spoiled. His efforts were spoiled. Amen. And they were spoiled by the wisdom and the power of Almighty God. Amen. Having been cast out of heaven, having no power, no authority in heaven, he is cast out into the earth. And he enacts plan number B. He could not have authority in heaven, and so he's cast out into the earth, and he comes up with plan B. And in his plan, stay right with me now, he's thinking that by deceiving man, whom God had created, and he did deceive the woman, and he thought in deceiving man, that God had created, that they would become rebellious toward God and confederate with Him. You understand what I'm saying? The devil had the idea that if he could cause man to fall, and man, there would be enmity between man and God. And there was. When man fell, when Adam fell, that created an enmity between man and between God. And had not God came to Adam and Eve in the garden to restore that enmity, and had not Christ died on the cross to restore that enmity, man would still be at enmity with Almighty God. And in doing so, it would make man confederate with the devil. In other words, they would be pals. They would be companions together. They were both in the same condition. They had both rebelled against God. They had both been expelled from their exalted position. And he felt like that they would be companions one with another upon this earth. But, you know, and by the way, he also thought that in doing that he would establish his kingdom upon this earth. Amen. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The devil couldn't establish his kingdom in heaven. He was cast out. When he tried to tempt our Lord in the wilderness, he didn't show him heaven. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "This is what I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me." And his plan was to establish his kingdom upon this earth and cause mankind to worship him. And when he could not rule in heaven, so his plan was to rule upon this planet earth. But you know, the Lord had His own plan. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad God had His own plan. That's exactly right. The Lord had His own plan, and He would put enmity between the seed of the woman, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the seed of the serpent. Now listen carefully, which some may say is the devil. But I believe the serpent was the devil. And so I believe the seed of the serpent, now you can disagree with me, is the Antichrist. Amen. He said, I'm going to put enmity between you and between the seed of the serpent. Amen. I believe that seed of the serpent was the Antichrist. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I believe that. And that enmity began a war. Stay right with me. That enmity began a war that would last until there is time no more. And it has lasted. I'm telling you, the devil and the Lord Jesus have been arch enemies throughout all ages. You can mark that down. The devil is no friend of God. Now, I won't say this, he's no friend of you either. Now, if you're lost and without God, he is your friend. You may not know that, but he is your friend. And he is your everyday companion. I'll show you that here in just a minute. But that enmity began a war that would last until there is time no more. That enmity not only included Christ, but also all that would believe in Jesus through the new birth. Through the new birth. The lost know nothing about that enmity that is between them and the devil. Did you hear what I said? A lost person has no earthly idea that there is any enmity between them and the devil. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can you prove that? If I couldn't, I wouldn't have said that what I said. I wouldn't. The lost know nothing about that enmity. They live in companions with Satan and even delight in his friendship and his company. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you know that? Because the Lord said in Ephesians 2:2, he said, wherein in time past you walked according to the courts of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now I'm telling you, a lost man knows nothing about that enmity that God has put between man, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. Now I'm telling you, the devil leads a lost man around wherever he wants to lead him. Now, I know people don't believe that. They've got the idea that I'm doing what I want to do by my own will. But I'm telling you, the devil has got a ring in their nose, brother, and is leading them around, causing them to sin, leading them into sin, and leading them in rebellion against Almighty God. Somebody say amen right there. That's what they really believe now. Now, don't nobody leave me. Stay right with me. But when conviction set in into your heart, and God with cords of kindness, stay with me now, God with cords of kindness and love begin to draw you to Jesus, you felt something opposing Satan. Am I right or wrong on that? When God first began to deal with you in your heart, something started to take place that set you as an adversary against sin. You begin no longer to enjoy that sin you once enjoyed. You no longer enjoyed the places that you used to go. And something was really happening because you began to love the God that you never loved. And you began to read the Bible that you never read. And you began to go to church, a place where you never went before in your entire life. I'm telling you, something was changing there. What was it was changing? I'm going to tell you what it was. God birthed you into the family of God, put the Holy Ghost in your bosom, and that started a war in your soul. Amen. And God put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And that battle, ladies and gentlemen, is taking place in you and I today. Better believe it is. Hallelujah. Somebody can say amen right there. Friend, when you got saved, that started a war. That started a war between you and sin. You and Satan. You and society. The places and things you used to love, you didn't love anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you, when conviction started in on Brother Hall, I really didn't know what was going on. Now, I really thought God hated me. Although, why would God do me this way? I mean, he made me feel terrible.
In fact, I felt like a sinner. I'd never felt like that before in my life, and neither had you. Oh, you might have known you were a sinner, but you didn't really feel like in your heart that you had really, you was a pretty good person. Now, you might as well admit that. I've heard sinners say that. But I'm going to tell you what. I really felt like God hated me. Why is He doing me this way? He makes me feel so condemned in my heart. And He will, and He loves. Hey, when He deals with you and starts that conviction, God will cause you to fall under what the Bible calls condemnation. Hey, and guilt, come on, stay with me. Guilt will begin to set in on your soul. And you'll feel guilty because of the sins you've committed against God. Amen. And you'll begin to feel, in your heart, you'll begin to feel remorse over the fact that you have sinned against God and you're guilty for them sins. And here's what it's going to say. I'm going to hell. I've sinned against God and I'm going to hell. That's what you'll think. But hey, that's that enmity. But all of a sudden, like Paul on the road to Damascus, a light began to shine in your soul, and a still small voice spoke to you in your heart and said, yonder is your deliverance from the guilt and the shame and the reproach that you bear. Now, when I saw Calvary, I didn't literally see it with my eyes. But I'm telling you by faith and in my heart, when God opened up my eyes, I saw Calvary. And there on the cross, the Son of God dying in my place. And if you're saved, you've seen that also. The Son of God dying there in your place on the cross to deliver you from the shame and the guilt that you carried and the condemnation that you carried because you were lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that began a battle in your life. Now, I want you to listen to what Brother Hall's saying this morning. I'm not just blowing hot air. These people that's going to need what I'm getting ready to preach in this message. When all this happened, God, hey, there began a battle in your life. A battle for right and wrong, good and bad, holiness and evil, wickedness and holiness. There was a battle that started raging there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, lest any of you get distraught, don't get too distraught, I won't say this. God started a battle raging in your heart that you cannot lose. Boy, I'm telling you, that may not do a thing for you, but I'm going to tell you, isn't it a blessing to go into a battle knowing that there's no way possible you're going to lose that battle? There was times in Vietnam that I headed into a battle, and I'm going to tell you, I went into it with fear and trembling. Why, Brother Hall? Because I didn't know whether I was coming out of it alive, for one thing. And secondly, I didn't know whether we was going to win it or lose it. But I'm telling you, when Christ started this battle, this enmity become between us and the devil, and He is no longer your friend. You know, I'm going to stop and say this right here. The Bible doesn't say how long it was between Adam and Eve's fall until the Lord came to them in the cool of the evening to where they were. And I'm wondering how they felt, how their attitude was towards Satan before Christ came to them in the cool of the day.
Amen.
There in the garden. It'd be the same that our attitude was toward
him.
I'll guarantee you on that.
Amen.
And suddenly, that enmity that Christ spoke of here, He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when He put enmity between Christ and the seed of the serpent, I'm going to tell you, you and I, as being born again children of God, that enmity is also there with us. If you think the devil is your friend today, you're crazy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the devil would love his best to destroy your family and your life and your testimony and everything about you if he can do it. And if he can get by with it, he will. If you're saved, he cannot take you to hell, but I'll tell you, he can destroy everything in your life. He can tear you down to absolutely nothing. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Read your Bible. Why do you think he's called the devil? Now that battle begin raging. But a battle that can't be lost. And it can't be lost because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so therefore that battle cannot be lost. Now what all does that battle include? Now I couldn't name all of it. But I've written down a few things that if you listen to me, it'll help you this morning. I won't say that there is a battle raging for our thoughts.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a battle raging for our thoughts.
Amen.
In other words, there is a battle for the mind.
Amen.
Son, the devil would love to control your mind and your thoughts. And that's right. And there is a battle going on for that mind. And I want to read a little verse here out of the book of Romans, if I can find my way to it here in a minute. And I think I can. I didn't write all these verses down. But I want to read a verse here to you or two. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Hey, carnal mind is not enmity against the devil who it's supposed to be. It's enmity against God. God is that enemy. But the Bible said, it is not, and it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, but thank God for this verse. But Paul said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that we're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. If we're in the Spirit, we're not carnally minded, which is dead. We're spiritually minded, which is life, and which is peace. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now stay right with me. And there is a battle going on for your thoughts. Notice what the Bible says in the book of, I'll find it here in a minute, in the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10. Turn your Bibles there. I want you to read it with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to read several verses this morning, Lord, be my helper. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. It is in the New Testament, isn't it? He said in verse 5, Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge of God. You realize this morning, if the devil can control our mind, and if the devil can control our thoughts this morning, then we're not going to learn much about God. We're going to have to be spiritually minded in order to learn about the Lord. And that's what he said here. And he casting down all those imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity, here we go, every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Folks, may I say, I don't know a living creature yet that I really believe has been able to do that.
Amen.
Now that ought to comfort you. Because there is a battle raging in the minds of saved people today. Minds that have been, come on now, it's the devil's last stronghold. Is in the minds of men and women that have been saved by the grace of God. Now I'm telling you, he will tell you everything under the sun that is wrong with you, and everything that is wrong with your family, everything that is wrong with your spouse, everything that is wrong with your preacher, everything that is wrong with your church, everything that is wrong about your job, your life, everything. He'll tell you everything that is wrong with what's going on in your life. Amen. He's a rascal.
Amen.
He's a devil. That's right. That's right. And he said, hey, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ, into obedience to Christ. And somebody said, preacher, what kind of thoughts do we have? I'm going to name a couple, and some of you are so holy, I know you're going to tell me you don't ever have them. Some of you have reached the state of perfection. Therefore, what I'm getting ready to say don't bother you. But if you think the devil cannot plant wicked thoughts in your mind, you're crazy. You better believe him. Amen. That's right. The devil can plant thoughts in your mind that are wicked, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. And make you, by those thoughts, do things that a saved person ought never to do. Hallelujah. My wife told me about some of the young people that we know that's been on Facebook and some of the things they put into Facebook, things that they ought not to put there and would not put there if they were thinking spiritual matters. But I'm telling you, the devil has planted thoughts into their mind and allowed them to put things in a place that they would never do in their entire life. You listen to what I'm telling you. I'm talking about the thoughts of your mind, friend. Somebody said, well, walking down the street and I see a woman and she's half clad and I have a wicked thought about her. Am I lost? God forbid.
Amen.
God forbid, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
The Bible, the Lord told his disciples, if a man have a thought in his mind of committing adultery with a woman, and he's already committed adultery with her in his mind. But that doesn't mean he's committed actual adultery with that woman. You think, our problem is we underestimate the power of Satan. And then, and here's what he'll get you to thinking. Well, if you had a wicked thought like that, how on earth can you be saved? Well, 2 minutes later, you're saying how great thou art. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the enmity. I'm telling you, there is a battle raging within us in the mind, in the thoughts of our mind. Amen. And there's an enmity there between us and the devil. Oh, yes, and there's a battle raging there that we're going to have to fight until we go to the grave. And I know a lot of young Christians get the idea and think if they think a bad thought about something that they're lost. Or they really didn't get saved. That's the devil trying to make you believe that. That's not God making you believe that. That's the devil making you believe that. What about worldly thoughts? My lands, I'm telling you, can't they enter your mind? We're living in a real world. By the way, friendship with the world is enmity with God. We'll have them old worldly thoughts. Well, if old so-and-so, if they can do something, why can't I do it that way? Now, I'm not going to tell you how I found this out. I hope nobody ain't listening. But somebody said something about something that was put on one of our young people's Facebook. About get this garbage off of here. Well, I don't know, I'm just preaching to you now, okay? I noticed on my computer somebody been on the Facebook. And I don't know what it was. I just hit it. I said, I just went to put on Fox News and it all rolled down in a little roll. So I said, I want to see what this is. Just a bunch of numbers and letters. I want to see what this is. And this was after I learned that this individual had said something contrary about one of our young people. Get to about their something they had on their Facebook. Now, I'm not in favor of that mess either. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm going to tell you right's right and wrong's wrong. And I just saw this individual's picture on this Facebook. And I said, well, I wonder what he's got to say. So I just clipped on it. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I did not even know what he was talking about. And He said, made a little statement, and all at once, and he said, and here I come, and my pants are down. And I thought, you're going to say something about somebody? And then you're going to tell somebody, here you come, and your britches are down? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's come on into the house. We're talking about reality today. We've got people that got the idea that so-and-so is not allowed to do this, but my mind is so pure I'd never do it, but they turn right around and do something just as bad.
Amen.
And then they want to criticize somebody for what they've done. I'm telling you, hey, we're all living in a glass house, friend, and we better be careful. I'd say the best thing to do is stay away from the whole mess, and then you won't have to worry nothing about it. And then I learned later that that little cliche, here I come with my pants down, is something that's used not in a good way.
Amen.
And not by good people.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm talking about the thoughts of your mind.
Amen.
I'm talking about wicked thoughts. And I'm talking about worldly thoughts. People will even have wanton thoughts. And I'm going to tell you, that's filthy. We're preaching today, gentlemen. I wonder how many men in here and women have actually sat around and imagined, oh, we're so holy, we wouldn't do that. Have imagined ourselves being with another man or woman. I'm talking about wanton thoughts. Filthy thoughts. There's a battle raging in your mind.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you the best thing we can do is combat that. Amen. Is to set Christ in our heart and in our mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And do our best to think upon Him because He is thinking upon us.
Amen.
But don't you get the idea just because these thoughts creep into your mind, you're lost. That's not necessarily the case.
Amen.
One preacher said, I can't keep the birds from flying around my head, but I don't have to let them build a nest in my hair. When I heard one preacher say, well, I can keep them from flying around my head, that depends on how high they're flying. You'll get a hold of that after a while. You may not be able to reach them. And some people have, hey, I'm not done yet. Some people have wavering thoughts. Wavering thoughts. Unstable. Well, today I'm saved and tomorrow I'm not. Well, the Lord told me today and showed me a verse that confirmed it in my heart that I'm a child of God. But all of a sudden tomorrow the devil creeps up on your back and starts speaking in your little ear. And all of a sudden you're not saved anymore. You're lost. You're doubting whether you've ever been born again or not. I'm going to say something to you right now. You hear me well and hear what I'm saying. God will never, let me get down here in somebody's face. God will never cause you to doubt. If there is a doubt in your mind that you are not saved, it is because Slewfoot has put it there and not the Lord. He don't put doubts. He brings conviction. And there's a difference between conviction and doubt. Better believe they are. Somebody say amen right there. Boy, he's a devil. He's a rascal. He knows if he can get our mind thinking along those lines and get us unstable, he can just undermine us and undercut us, and we'll never accomplish anything for God. Oh, and that makes him so happy. When we falter and fail because of the doubt that he's planted in our mind, he just laughs and chuckles about it. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to have the second laugh, friend. He's going to have the last laugh. Devil may laugh now, but I'm going to tell you, he's going to have the last laugh. Somebody said, God is. Well, yeah, God's going to laugh, but I'm going to tell you, we might be laughing along with him. Because there's coming a day when he's going to pick that rascal up, amen, and cast him for eternity into a lake of fire, and the accuser of the brethren will be gone forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, somebody said, I don't ever have any of them thoughts. Well, if you don't, it's a good possibility. Or I just constantly have them, just all the time. They're there just all the time.
Well, maybe you need to get born again in that case. But I'm going to tell you what kind of thoughts we need to have, wholesome thoughts. Woo! I can turn to that scripture where Paul said, think upon these things. For being in virtue, think upon these things, honesty and holiness. Think upon these things. Hallelujah. Think about heaven. Think about being forgiven. Think about the love of God. Amen. Think about your name being written down in heaven. Get excited. Hey, get excited in your mind about heaven and where you're going. And get excited about the fact that your guilt's gone, your shame's gone, your reproach is gone. And by the way, your sin is gone. Whoa, what a God we have. He said he would take away A-double-L-O sin. That's exactly what he meant, ladies and gentlemen. Forgive us of all our sins. Come on in the house now. We got a wonderful Savior. Now I'm trying to hurry, but I'm not getting there too fast. Now, I want to say secondly, there's a battle in your mind, not only for your thoughts, but for our time. That's right. There's a battle going on for our time. Listen what the Bible said in the book of Ephesians 5:15-16. The Lord said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that means to rescue from loss.
Amen.
Redeeming the time. So what he is saying here, he's saying don't let time slip through your fingers.
Amen.
Redeem the time. Be busy as Jesus was about your Father's business. So, amen. I'm going to tell you, what? The devil must be a Mexican. Now, I don't know if any of them heard me or not. But he must be one. I'm going to tell you why. He'll always tell you when you're getting ready to do something for God, mañana. You can do it tomorrow. They don't need to do it today. They can hold off another day. Just do it tomorrow. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you know what he'll tell you tomorrow? You can do this thing mañana. Won't you lay back? It's like that fella in Matthew 20.
Amen.
That the Lord went out at the 11th hour. At the 11th hour. And asked that man, why stand ye here idle all the day? There was a man that had been there.
Amen.
And had stood there idle all day while the others worked in the field. Hadn't
Amen.
Done one thing for God. Not one thing. And that's the way a lot of Baptists are. They're standing idle in the field. They're not involved in the work. They're not involved in the ministry.
Amen.
They're not giving to missions. They're not praying for missionaries. They're not involved in the church. Come on now.
Amen.
They're not involved in what's going on at the house of God. You mention a revival, they draw up in a knot.
Yeah.
You mention having a sweetheart banquet, they curl their toes. Or you talk about having this and that, they begin to draw back. Come on in the house now. I'm going to tell you something. While we've got time to do something for God, we better utilize that time. Amen. That's right. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm going to say thirdly, age of battle going on in your mind for the truth. Did you know that?
Amen.
We know that in the Bible, in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, the Bible said the devil is a liar.
Amen.
And we know that in John 14:6, but Jesus said he's the truth.
Amen.
And so we know the devil's a liar and Jesus is the truth. And there is a battle going on for truth and for falsehood.
Amen.
Or lies.
Right.
Oh yeah, and that battle is raging. If I can put it this way, there is a battle going on for right and wrong.
Amen.
That's where the battle lies. Is this right or is it wrong?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of us are going to have to get down serious with God. And ask ourselves, is what I'm doing right or is it wrong? And I'm going to tell you, there's some things that we're doing that is wrong. And I don't even have to pray about it. I know about it. Come on in the house. I'm going to tell you, I'm beginning to believe there's some folks that are making provisions just to lay out of the house of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, hey, it's never right to lay out a charge. Somebody said, well, my job's got me out. Well, if you'd pray and ask God, He might give you a job where you wouldn't have to lay out of the house of God. Come on in the house now. Is it right to tithe or is it wrong to tithe? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's right to tithe.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm not under the law, neither is tithing, so you're in good company.
Amen.
Abraham tithed before there ever was a law.
Amen.
Well, is tithing right or wrong? Sure, it's right. Where does the tithe go? It goes to where Malachi said. Somebody said, that's Old Testament. I don't care what's Old Testament or not. He said, bring all your treasures into the storehouse. Where did we rob God? Tithes and offerings, he said. Come on now. Is it right to tithe? Sure, it's right to tithe.
Amen.
Is it right to live right? Sure, it's right to live right. Is it right to dress right? Sure, it's right to dress right. Amen. Well, my wife this morning, I said, that dress you got on looks a little short. She said, well, I thought if you looked like Elvis Presley, I could dress up a little bit. Hey, man. Right or wrong? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to weigh out by the Scriptures, whether it's right or wrong. The devil will put that thought in your mind. Hey, come on now. He'll try to rob you of the truth. Now you hear what I'm saying. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. The truth will set you free. Come on now. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to tell you, if we always do what is right, our conscience will never bother us about it. And we'll be free. But I'm going to tell you what wrong does. Wrong will bring you into bondage.
Amen.
And your thoughts will haunt you for a long, long time when you do wrong. And it'll bring you into bondage. I mean, you'll struggle. You'll fight within yourself and struggle within yourself. I thought I had a verse for that, and it slipped my mind. The devil don't want you to do right, and Jesus don't want you to do wrong.
Amen.
Now, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians just a minute. 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2.
Amen.
I won't be in reading in verse 7. It might be a lengthy passage. Bear with me. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Antichrist.
Amen.
Whose power is coming is after the working of Satan. And he'll deceive with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Get this now, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Amen.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now, I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to change the Bible. But that said, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned. Folks, that's talking about people in a tribulation period. Are you listening to me? People that had an opportunity.
Right.
He's not talking about sending a lie to people. God would never lie to anybody now. But He's talking about those in the tribulation period that go into the tribulation period from this life, and they know right or wrong. They know truth and lies.
Right.
They know what was right and they know what was wrong. And during that time, God will send them strong delusion. Why? Because I believe that word is believed is in past tense. Because they believed not the truth. They will believe a lie because they didn't believe the truth. And I'm telling you, in so in like manner today, God ain't going to make you do it, but you're either going to believe a lie or the truth. One of the two. There's not any gray area. It's a lie or it's truth. It's right or it's wrong. And God will send them a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie and be damned. Because they did not believe the truth that they might be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that sad? I don't know if I'm done here or not. But we are bound to give thanks always to God in verse 13 for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There's God's part and there's your part. God sets you out, sanctifies you, and you believe the truth that you hear. Amen. Come on in the house. Some of you getting tired, sleepy already. Don't give out on me. I won't say number three. There's a battle going on for your talk. That tongue, that flapper. The Lord said in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace.
Amen.
Can we say that? If our speech, I know I'm preaching a long time, but if our speech is always with grace, you know what grace is? Unmerited favor. That means that we're not going to revile people that may lay something to our charge. We're not going to revile them again.
Amen.
We're going to bite our tongue, keep our mouth shut.
Amen.
Always have that tongue seasoned with grace.
Amen.
And grace is unmerited favor. Oh, they don't deserve it. What we'd like to do is really lay the hammer down on them. Amen. Tell them what we think about things. But we better let that speech be seasoned with grace. But the devil will tell you, go on, man, lay it on. Tell them how things are. Praise God. I started using old cliche years ago, but I better not say that. Better watch that time. He said in Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men speak shall they give an account for thereof in the day of judgment. And Solomon said in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Isn't that wonder? Isn't that wonderful that if our speech is seasoned with grace, that we can drop an apple of gold into pictures of silver. In other words, we can drop a word that will stand out above everything else. Oh, that is words of encouragement and words of exhortation and words of love. Hallelujah. Not only to those around us, but to the Lord Himself. We can exalt and magnify His wonderful holy name for what He's done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Then, I want to say there's a battle going on for what we've been taught.
Amen.
You know, the devil will try to rob you of your heart, of every truth that you've ever been taught in your life.
Amen.
The Bible said in Matthew 13:19, in that parable of the kingdom, those parables of the kingdom, He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Amen.
This is he which received seed by the wayside.
Amen.
Can I give you a little illustration of this? Come on now, I know you're getting warm because I'm getting warm here. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. It's only half past a freckle. Don't leave me. But as a young boy, I loved to play ball. Now, I remember I was playing with the big boys one day in fast pitch softball. And we was leading a team by the name of Nab. We was leading them 4-3. And they was at their last bat. And I think they had something like two men on base. And you know we was playing slow pitch softball. You know anything about slow pitch softball? We had what's called a Roman fielder. He's just an extra fella out there that don't generally do anything. So that's where they put me at, Roman fielder. They got two men on, there's two outs. And some guy gets up, boy, and he peels that ball. And their side starts yelling, "Yay, we won the ball game! Yay, we won the ball game!" I'm going to tell you, that ball was hit, and I just turned my back and started running just as fast as I could. And when I got to where I thought that ball might be by that time, I just spun around and leaped as high in the air as I could with that one hand, and that ball said, "Whoa!" And then people went, "Oh." You know what I'd done? I snatched it away.
Amen.
It was sure in there, but I snatched it away.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, that's what the devil tried to do to everything that we're taught that's wholesome and gracious and wonderful. He'll try to snatch it away. He'll try to catch it away out of our heart. That which we've been taught, he'll take it away. Now, I'm telling you, that's why people are going to the Mormons, and that's why people are going to Jehovah's Witnesses, and that's why people are going to Pentecostalism, and that's why people are going to all these interdenominational churches and all these big Christian churches, is because what's been taught in their heart has been caught away.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Well, that's a third of the message. No, it's more than that. Hebrews 2:1 said, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest seed to the things that we've been, things which we have been taught, lest at any time we let them slip."
Amen.
Now, stay right with me. I've got two more little thoughts, and they won't take very long. What else is between us? What's going on between you and the devil? I said, battle is. I won't say number two, and I'm so proud of this. I mean, that's all in my heart. I'm proud of this. I'm glad there's a book between us and the devil. Thank God for the old King James 1611 Bible. Aren't you glad there's a book?
Hey,
it was the word that the Lord used to put the devil on in flight in Matthew chapter number 4. That word. It was a sharp sword, which is the Word of God, that's going to come out of Christ's mouth when He comes back after the tribulation to rule and reign in this world. And with the Word of His power, He'll smite the nations. That book. That book will judge you and I. That book will judge every word that we've said. That book will judge every deed that we've done. That book! Don't underestimate the Bible and these hound dogs and rascals trying to print up every stinking perverted addiction of the Bible they kept. They're perverting the way of God.
Amen.
Some of them being written by queers.
Amen.
Lesbians. Come on now. Somebody said you're on the air. I know that. But truth's the truth. But I'm glad we got a book. Between us. I said the Lord used it against the devil in Matthew 4. It is used by the Lord to destroy the nations at His second coming in Revelation 19:5. It is a portion of our armor in Ephesians 6:17. And He said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword which is the Word of God." Joshua 1:8 said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Do you want to be prosperous in your life? Do you want to be successful in your life? Get in that Bible and love it. And not only love it, but practice what it's got to say. You can know it by heart and quote it from cover to cover, but if you never put it into practice, it'll never benefit you one dime. It's got to be put into practice. Amen to God. That book. Thank God for that book. Psalm 1:1 said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate."
Amen.
day and night, that book.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. That book is a good instrument to put between you and the devil.
Amen.
I was telling somebody yesterday, and they're here, and they'll remember this. But years ago, there was an old-time preacher. And he's a fireball man. I mean, he preached heaven sweet and hell hot.
Yep.
And he got all tore up one day, and he finally retired, and his wife, and after several months, said his wife walked in the bedroom one day and said he's just sitting there on the edge of the bed and his head hanging down real low. Said his wife said, "Honey, what is wrong with you?" And he said, "Sweetheart, you wouldn't believe it, but after all these years," said, "I don't really know whether I'm saved." She said, What is causing you to doubt that way?" He said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, it must be the devil." Said, "You need to take the Word of God, read the Word of God, and let Jesus drive the devil away from you." So
Amen.
She left, and a little bit later he come out and he was feeling fine. Went on for several weeks and he just felt fine, happy as he could be. She walked in the room one day, and there he sat all hunkered over again. And she spoke to him and said, "Honey," said, are you all tore up again?" And he said, I turned around and he had tears in his eyes running down his face. He said, "No, sweetheart," said, "I'm doing fine." Said, "The devil just told me again that I was lost." And said, "The Holy Spirit said that he's a prince of darkness. Said, won't you put that book right in his face and tell him to go on back to hell where he belongs?" And he said, "I just put it down under the bed." Said, "I figured that's why I'd been over." Said, "I figured that was the darkest place in the house, and that's probably where he was at, was under my bed. So I just stuck the Bible down under the bed and told him, there's the Word of God, read it, and go on to hell, because that's where you're going anyway."
Amen.
Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying I'm glad we've got a book between us and him.
Amen.
Thank God for that book between
Amen.
Us and the devil.
Amen.
Now I'm closing. Well, let me say these three or four little things here. I am closing, believe it or not. I've said that 1,700 times. But that book brings forth fruit in its season.
Amen.
Our leaf will always be green. That's according to Psalm 1:1. And whatsoever we do shall prosper. Now I'm closing with this. Number three. What's going on between you and the devil? Battle? What's going on between you and the devil? Book. What's going on between you and the devil? And I can jump up and down with this. I say the blood. That's what's going on between you and the devil, is the blood. Just like it did down in Egypt at the Passover lamb. When they put the blood on the doorpost and lintels of the house. And here come the destroyer through the land. I'm going to tell you what. You know what was between the destroyer and the people? Blood. Aren't you glad today you've got that blood between you and the devil? He can't get through it! We're safe and secure! Thank God because of the blood! I'm not safe because I was baptized! And no man is safe because he spoke in tongues, or because he done good works, or because he tied with a church, amen, or because he was a great soul winner, amen. We're safe because the blood stands between us and the devil. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man could get saved by being baptized. Why Jesus died? Well, you know what the Church of Christ say? You must be baptized. Well, ain't going to be baptized. Praise God, I'm glad I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 Now I'm glad the blood's been applied.
Amen.
And just like the song says, when God sees us,
Amen.
He don't see us. He sees the blood, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It stands between us. And that enmity, that is between the seed of the serpent
Amen.
And the seed of the woman. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your trouble might be, your trial might be. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what's going on in your mind. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord knows.
Amen.
The Lord knows. And He is able to give you the divine grace that you need
Amen.
To overcome. And to have the victory that you want and the victory that you need in your Christian life. You do not have to be aggravated by the devil.
Amen.
Constantly.
God.
In fact, James said, resist the devil. He'll flee from you.
Amen.
We don't always have to give over and bend over to him. Thank God. There's a battle going on, but thank God we got a book.
Amen.
And we got the blood.
Amen.
Got the book, we got the blood, and we got the blessed hope. If this will do you any good, we're Baptist.
Amen.
Let's stand together.